We will be concluding our series this morning on the book of Malachi. In fact, I want to back up back into chapter 3 and pick it back up with 16. Have you guys realized yet that nothing is the same anymore in the world? Nothing's the same. We got the craziest bunch of stuff going on I think I have ever seen in my life. And it's not just coming out of D.C. I mean, some of that stuff is, they have snuck so much stuff into the stimulus bill, it will stimulate everything but maybe the economy. There are hidden agendas in it, and the more that I listen to some news agencies, the more concerned I get. There's things to suppress the church, there's things to, just all kinds of crazy stuff in it. And there's been a lot of things come to light. I mean, we're living in the end of days. I mean, if you're really serious, it's time to get serious about our lives and our walk with God. Let me give you an example. How many know before the Antichrist comes back, he's going to have to be able to rule and reign from Babylon for a while? Did you know that the United Nations just passed a resolution in this past December, that the United Nations is now going to rebuild Babylon? With European and American money, we're going to rebuild what Saddam Hussein couldn't. Because it's going to take a unified Iran and Iraq under the Mawdi, which they are believing is their Messiah. We know that, when you read the back of the book, he sounds a lot like the guy at the back of the book you don't want to be a part of. Amen? Sounds like the Antichrist. That if you don't follow his ways, he cuts your head off. And those that are actively seeking him, to include the president of Iran, which is, I mean, every time he speaks at the UN, he ends his speech with, "May God give me the strength to hasten his coming." Now, that almost sounds like how an applied Christian, "Lord, help us that we would," our vision of hastening the return of Jesus is winning everybody to Jesus. But when you look at a 12th imamer, which they're looking for the 12th imam, their belief system says they have got to create World War III and carnage so great on the earth, it produces their Messiah. So whenever they say, "May God give me the strength to hasten today," it's like, "God, may you give me the strength to blow up 3/4 of the world and cause carnage and chaos." And I mean, I don't know about you, but it gets me a little concerned. And does anybody really know what they're doing? I'm serious. Democrats have, it's like they are a kid that has discovered a platinum credit card with a zero balance on it, and they're in Macy's. And Republicans are trying to rediscover who they are, because somehow or another they got lost. They acted so much like Democrats, the Democrats said, "Well, if you're acting like Democrats, we're just going to go this much further to the left." Salvation is not going to come from D.C., it's not going to come from the U.N., it's going to come directly from Almighty God to a people that hear His voice, period. Therefore, we cannot look to another man to save you. I want to make that real clear. I don't have one thing against President Obama. I pray for him. I do think the only thing that him and I would have at odds is probably his liberal education, but the man has a good heart. I can see that. At least in what I can see that. And he doesn't scare me. What scares me is the crowd around him. That, when he shows up, it's like Elvis has just entered the building. And that's not so much speaking about him, it's so much speaking that the world, the heart of the world, will follow any leader that it think might give hope, and is willing to give up anything to get it. I'm waiting for clothing to start being tossed on the stage like he's Tom Jones or something. Every time he gives a speech, waiting for him to be able to ride the wave. When they fall out in the crowd, and just make sure they're Secret Service, every other one. But it's not him, I don't think, so much as it is the people. Because we know things are out of control, But instead of you seeking God, if you bring your life under control, and you bring your life under control, and you bring your life under control, maybe we can start having some control. Our founding father said that if a people will not govern themselves, you see, that our Constitution was written not for a bunch of pagans, not for a bunch of liberals. Our Constitution was written for people that rule their lives by the Word of God. And if they won't rule themselves by the Word of God, even the founders of our Constitution said that the only thing that will replace that is tyranny. So I'm into controlling myself. Amen. Bringing myself back into control of God. And this is what a lot of Malachi is talking about here. I want to pick back up to verse 16 of verse 3. Because we have people complaining against God. But then God says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Let me tell you something. God's listening. God's listening what's coming over the airwaves. And I don't know about you, but even most of Christian television I can't watch anymore. I cannot watch anymore. Because no matter where they go, it ends up being an offering. Yeah. You take a truth, instead of saying, hit your knees, get right with God, and start doing what He says, it always twists around to where you don't have to do any of that, you just need to write a check. A check won't do it. The only time you should write a check is if Almighty God tells you to write a check, and it ought to be where God tells you to give, not who's given the biggest bang for the buck with their prophetic promise. Because each one is promising, we'll do this, God will do this, God will do this, God will do this if you give to our ministry. How about being led by the Holy Spirit? Let Jesus show you where you're supposed to invest your money in the kingdom of God. And sometimes it might be to a ministry, and if you understand Torah, sometimes it might be to your hungry neighbor. If we see someone in need, and this is what the Old Testament tells you, that the New Testament won't, because they didn't really cover it because it's already written in the Old Testament. Amen. God is efficient. It's like, I thought you could have understood it the first 40 times I wrote it, and you didn't need it in the back of the book. That many times God can lead you if you have someone that is hungry, someone that is in need, that you can also take your tithe or a portion of your tithe and give it to that person. And what you're doing is releasing the kingdom of God directly where it needs to be. It is time that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit like no other generation before us. And it's time that we start talking to one another about the Word of God, because you're not going to hear it on the airwaves anymore. And God is listening. God is listening not only on all the junk going on over the airwaves, He's listening how we talk to one another, how we encourage one another in God. And God is so impressed by what they're talking, which means we need to encourage one another once again in the Word. That encouragement has got to be there. Let me tell you something. When the body of Christ is working right, I'm not giving all the teaching. Think about that for a minute. When this body is functioning right, well, does that mean I'm going to get up underneath the pulpit? Let me tell you something. Some of the most powerful truths are not received from the pulpit. They're received when you're sitting in your homes, when you're talking at each other in Walmart, when you're sitting there in a restaurant, and all of a sudden God shows Patrick something that just really sets his heart on fire, and it's the exact word that Micah may need that week. And then when he shares it, Micah's blessed, because he had another believer speak the word into him. Patrick gets the blessing also for being faithful in what God gave him. And what Patrick didn't know is that week Michael was on his knees praying that Patrick could hear from God. Can you see how it's supposed to work? That we lift one another up, that we begin speaking to one another the word of God. The Word of God, not the new whatever fad that's going on this week, but returning to the true ways of God. And it impressed God so much that a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on His name. It's time once again for us to fear God. Let me tell you something. When you learn to fear God, you stop fearing man. You stop fearing situations. You stop even fearing sickness or disease or anything else, because you know all of it has a name, and it's got to bow at the name of Jesus. And God is so impressed. You know what I want more than anything? You know, you can have all this garbage going on around you, and God cups His hands around you and says, "Yeah, but you're mine." Let me tell you something, that's worth its weight in gold. That is worth its weight in platinum or whatever other kind of stuff that is going on that's very expensive. Because when God's hands are around you, nothing can get to you. Is that not part of the Aaronic blessing? I want God to be looking at me, and I want His hand to be on me. Because as He's looking at me and His hand is on me, even though 1,000 may fall from my right hand, 10,000, or by my left hand, 10,000 by my right, it will not come up near my dwelling. Because really the secret place of the Most High God is having His attention and His hand. Which is what the whole Aaronic blessing is about. God's going to put His name on you. He's going to be watching over you. And may He watch over you. May His countenance be upon you. And may His hand be on you. What happened every time Jesus laid His hands on anybody? They got healed. They got delivered. Nothing for lunch. Give me a couple of fish and a couple of loaves and I'll feed 5,000 men plus women and children, because His hand got on it. And when Jesus can look at you and say, "I want to make you mine in a way that I've never made another generation," and He begins to watch us and begins to put His hands on us, things are going to change dramatically. And the only step to that is to begin fearing God, to fear Him. That is your prerequisite to this whole thing. The body of Christ has lost its fear of God. Now all we fear is the budget. And we will do whatever it takes to meet the budget just like everybody else. Let me tell you something. To hell with the budget. I do not serve mammon. You do not serve mammon. Almighty God. If he can get us to go fishing and we can pull a gold coin out of the mouth of a fish big enough to pay all our taxes, if we serve God, He will always meet the need. But when we start serving the need, we quit serving God. I'm talking serious now. Because and Jesus did never serve the need. There were times He met needs. But how many know when He went in and healed the one man by the pool of Bethesda, He walked out and left probably 2,000 needs. Went in, one man, walked back out when all of them were there that needed healing. Because Almighty God said, "You do this and then you're done." We want to try to establish and build a tabernacle of healing right there, wouldn't we? Contemporary Christian thinking. But this is going to be our cathedral of healing right here by the pool of Bethesda. So when the water ain't a bubbling, you come on in here and get it. That's exactly what we would do today. We are so carnal. We are so gimmick-oriented. You say, "Well, the way you're talking, people quit giving." No, I believe with the way that I'm talking, people will be in a position to give more than they've ever given before. Because they're going to give it freely. They're going to give it because Almighty God told them to. And if I tell you to give something and I'm promising all these blessings that God never promised, God isn't going to do a thing. But if God speaks to your heart and you know that you know that you know and you give accordingly, God will bless you, that the Word says there will be not enough room to hold it. Look at the Jewish people. Can I share something with the Jewish people? Right now within Judaism, they teach because there's no temple that they don't tithe. Almost some Christian go, "Oh, wait, that's what we've been saying for years." Yeah, but the average Jew gives 20 to 40% of their income. They do. They give 20 to 40% to the things of the kingdom of God. And they're not tithing. And then most Christians tip God and expect it to be like the lotto. priority straight. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as we start ministering to one another and hearing God and begin encouraging one another and sometimes almost goading one another to hear God, it begins to cause a chain reaction amongst us, amongst the people of God. That we start digging deeper and that word start getting deeper into the presence of God than ever before. And as Micah gets deeper, he's gonna provoke everybody else to get deeper. And as Brian gets deeper, oh yeah, well, I'm going to get deeper too, because I tell you what God did in Brian's life this week, I want some of that. And God says, I tell you what, I'm going to have to write all this stuff down because they're almost, you know, this is good. I want to write it down. And I'm going to make you mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, I will make you my jewels and I will spare them. You need to underline that in your word. Because if there was ever a time you need God to spare you, it's right now. I want God to look at me and say, that's my boy. I tell you what, I don't care what goes on around him, it ain't going to hit him. Because I'm going to spare him. I will spare him as a man spares his own son who serves him. So it's not just a boy, you know, it's not just one of his kids. It's one of his kids that is honoring his dad with his whole heart. How many know that, you know, a father, if he has a son doing that, he'll bend over backwards? Because sometimes, you know, there are times you need kind of need to let them go out on their own and learn that there are comeuppance to be had in life. But sometimes you have that son that is faithful and he's serving his father. That father will have a stronger watch over him because he knows his heart's right. Then he goes on. Then you shall again discern between righteousness, or righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Real discernment. I think one of the reasons I'm having problems right now with Christian television is my discernment is returning. There are a lot of ministries I don't want to have, and not just ones on television. I mean, there are ministries that we have dealt with on a national level I don't want to deal with anymore. And there are some that I would bend over backwards and do whatever I could do to help them, because I am beginning to discern those that are serving themselves and those that are really serving God. And a lot of it comes down to something called integrity. If they give you the word, I've got ministries right now that we deal with. If they give me their word that Tuesday morning I will receive an envelope from FedEx, and when I set it on my desk, it will open up by itself and a check will pop out. I guarantee you that's the way that thing will be constructed. And there are some ministries that all you hear are flattering words. And as you're talking, you're thinking, man, I wish I'd have worn my boots today because stuff's beginning to get deep. And the most surprised person on the planet will be if what they said actually came to pass, without 6 months to a year of begging them and begging them and begging them and begging them to do what they promised in the first place. I don't need that time. Life is too short. Amen. See, we're being able to begin to discern between good and evil. One who serves God and one who does not. For, now this is where we're getting, because this is where I think we're beginning to enter into that day, and it's not going to be something that's going to last a week. I think we're looking at something that could probably last several decades in this process. For the day is coming, burning like an oven, that all the proud, yes, all who do wicked will be a stumble. The day will be coming that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. How many know all those that think they're hot rods right now, that think they're in control of everything? And there's a lot of stuff going on right now in America that is not righteous. I'm flabbergasted by some things. I just read this recently in Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin University. A girl who was state MPV on basketball that led her high school into the state championships, that the first year, and she got all these full scholarships to college, university. She is Seth's one at Central University, Wisconsin University. First year's great. Between the first year and the second year, they switch coaches. according to both the American Family Association and several associations, she was kicked off the team because she was heterosexual. Because you're straight, you're kicked off a college basketball team. We also have, how many know that Christians air specials on television all the time? But have you noticed they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer? The American Family Association spent, I don't know how many thousands of dollars putting together a program called The Silencing of Christianity. And to their shock and dismay, no network will carry it. Time for the underground DVD. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. We need to wake up and smell the coffee. That 90% of what you hear on radio and television has been scripted to mold society in a way someone else wants it to go. That's why you better hear from God. And it's going to come a point God is saying, I'm going to have enough of that and I'm getting ready to take care of it. We are going to see that. Because, you know, we always look for the rapture. Jesus said that when that day comes, that the tares are going to be gathered up and the wheat is going to be left. We're going to begin seeing that God is going to create situations around the world that is going to burn up the chaff, burn up the tares, and leave the wheat. Aren't you glad? If there was ever time to be a wheat, it be now. Amen. And God says, when He's done burning them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch, but. Now this one you need to underline in your Bible, but. I like words like but and therefore, you know. Like in the one that said, you know, in verse 16, then the Lord will hear and He'll remember. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in His wings. Now, how many know that there was a little old lady in Israel at the time of Jesus who had an issue of blood? And do you ever wonder why she crawled through the streets and grabbed his tzitzit off of his tallit? Because she knew the scripture, because the fringe on the sides of the tallit, this is called a wing. If you're Jewish and you know what you're talking about. And so in His wings shall be healing. And she crawled through. She dared to crawl through being unclean. Dared to crawl, go through and grab the tzitzit of a kosher rabbi, which according to Moses should have had her stoned. But here's the quandary. The moment she touched it, she was no longer unclean. Because the promise in Malachi was that in His tzitzit, which is the name of God, the ways of God, the commandments of God, the royal line of God through Messiah is all in that tzitzit. And when she touched it, everything that He is was released into her. And let me tell you something, where we're getting ready to go, when I fear God, everything that He is released into me. And it comes down to fear of God. I'm giving a prophetic warning. Nothing is the same ever again. We're not going to go through, and this is not going to be like the recession of the 80s. This is not going to be like the recession of the 90s. How many know that we had a recession every decade? We have a recession every decade. Every single decade. It will not be like this. The only ones that it is going to really turn around for are those who fear God. Period. Not only is it going to turn around, but this is the key to your healing and restoration. Because in the midst of God burning up the unrighteous and burning up all the things that are offensive to Him, that have lifted themselves up in pride, which is exactly what a tear does, because when a tear comes into maturity and we come into a maturity, a tear stands straight up and we will bow down under the load of the fruit. So as the wheat is bowing down in humility, it just leaves all those heads popped up to cut off. And God is saying, as I'm doing that, God can take care of His people. He can be destroying Egypt while He protects Goshen. God can bless you and strengthen you no matter what is going on around you, because the only thing that is the differential in this is your heart in fearing God. If your heart is fearing God, you are in an atmosphere of heaven around you, and God says that while I'm doing this, I am going to loose healing that is going to hit you, and not only is it going to hit you, but you shall grow out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So do you know how hard a stall-fed calf has to work to get fed? What's in the bin today? That's it. He doesn't even have to go out in the pasture. How many know cows? Cows are amazing creatures. They know exactly where the good grass is in the pasture. You know, they may be dumb. We may look and say, you know, dumb. But you know, as far as what they do, they know where the food is in the pasture. And I have watched cows. They can know, you know, there can be 500 red trucks. How many of there's like 500 red trucks around here? But they know the red truck that belongs to their farmer. And they can have 40 red trucks pull by their lot that day. And they'll look up. All right, you know, it's not Bill. You know. But when his truck pulls up, they immediately know before he even gets out the door. But God says, I'm going to feed you like a calf. Like a stall-fed calf. That is divine provision like we have never seen before. That everything our hands will be blessed because Almighty God is empowering what we do. Patrick's kind of seen some of these. He came in the other day. I'm going to tell on you. He says it's amazing what happens when you listen to the Word of God and listen to praise and worship all day. Everything works. Some of the equipment, you know, by him simply walking in the door, it started working. You know, how's that? This works so much better. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm here at work. You know, here's my bill. Well, shouldn't you open your briefcase? Didn't have to. It's just me, man. That's what happens. When the favor of God begins to get on you, all you got to do is show up for things to change. You're like a calf that is stall-fed. All you got to do is show up. When you walk into that situation, things begin to change. But see, God's not only going to do that. God is getting ready to prepare us to understand spiritual warfare like we've never seen before. Because He promises in verse 3, "And you shall trample the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts." We're waiting for God to do it, and God's waiting for us to get to a place where He can do it through us. And here's an amazing thing. You don't need AK-47s. You don't need bombs. You don't need anything. What you need is the name of Jesus. And all you got to do is walk in a place under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and it destroys and leaves in ashes what the enemy had planned to do. I don't know about you, but I just like that. I like that. Let's go on now. Verse 4. Here's another one. Underline this one, remember. Remember. What are we supposed to be remembering? The law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded you in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. You think it's by coincidence that God is getting the attention of the body of Christ back to the laws of Moses? The laws of Moses are what we have been missing all these years that have caused the body of Christ to act like screwballs. Century after century after century. And the only times that we have had great revival, I have studied church history. I have studied the great movements of God. And every one of those great movements of God, they esteemed the commandments of God. Now, our contemporary Christian history tries to gloss over that. But when you go back and you read Wesley, or you read Spurgeon, or you read any of these men that changed their nation, they kept the commandments of God in high esteem. Because it takes the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb to get it done. That's what I read in the book of Revelation. They sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. It's a duet. You know, God says, you know, you want to release a resonance in the earth, it's going to take two-part harmony. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And as we begin to remember that, well, I'm not Israel, then you're not saved. Did not the Apostle Paul say that we were grafted into a tree called Israel? Did he not say, have you not read the book of Ephesians? You who are far off are now made near, that you who did not hold citizenship in Israel now have citizenship? That means everything God spoke to Israel spoke to the Gentile. Because we're no longer a Gentile, we have been grafted into Israel by Messiah. Therefore, when God at Mount Horeb spoke to Israel because of Messiah, He is speaking to me. We need to wake up to that fact. Everything needs to be interpreted through the matrix of Messiah. You just don't do it because it's Jewish. You do it because it's Jesus. Amen? But as we do, it's going to add a power to the kingdom of God that we have never seen before, because we have been talking about being a part of a kingdom that has no laws. There is no such thing. Amen? You can't have a kingdom without the law of the king. We know that, but we don't know that. When you have this little stick that has 12 inches on it, what is that called? You know why it was a ruler? Because it used to be that a foot was established by how big the ruler's foot was. Lord have mercy for anybody my size, if they were the king, because a foot was 15 inches. But the reason that we call it a ruler was because it came from the ruler's foot. That's why we call a foot a foot. And as Europe got away from rulers, they tried to replace it by going with something else. Metrics. But that's one of the few things out of a monarchy that we have kept in America for some reason. We, you know, a gallon is a gallon, a foot is a foot, a yard is a yard, and don't you mess with it. You're never going to hear me say, you know, I'm never going to give another millimeter. It's going to be another inch. You know. But I think part of that's been instilled in us, but yet we think, you know, a ruler lays down the law of exactly what a foot is. But we think we can operate in the kingdom without law. If there were not laws in the land in America, it'd be an anarchy right now. Laws that are enforced. Now, what they have done that God doesn't do, they have contradicting laws. Because we have, what, 15 million laws in the books right now? And they can't even keep them straight. When we have guys that are trying to get positions in the president's cabinet that didn't get their taxes right, and they used to be the guys who wrote the tax laws and over the committees that governed the IRS, maybe they're just a little too complicated. I don't know, that's just kind of my attitude. You know, if you wrote them and you can't understand them, then maybe we need to go back and let somebody with a simpler mind just say, you know, how about 10%? Good enough for God. No loopholes. 10%, you live off 90. Wouldn't that be easy? Government gets for 10%. God gets 10%. There's no sales tax. There's no nothing else. Operated on 10%. If it's bigger than what 10% can take, then you're too big. Well, that's another whole thing. Okay. Remember the law of Moses, my servants, which I commanded you in Horeb for Israel and for all the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and coming day of the Lord. Which is talking about the Valley of Armageddon. And how many know it's not another... John the Baptist was not the reincarnation of Elijah. This Elijah is going to be fulfilled in two ways. He had the same spirit as Elijah on him. Amen? Not only did he have the same spirit of Elijah, one of the things that has been coming out in archaeological digs that we have found out with the Essenes were the keepers of the tallit of Elijah. It was made out of camel's hair, which ain't kosher. Only Elijah could get away with it. And what was John the Baptist wearing? A mantle or a tallit of camel's hair. It was actually the real deal. It was the tallit that Elijah wore, that Elisha wore. So two things are going to happen. The spirit of Elijah, that same anointing, that same prophetic anointing that would go against Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, who would take God's people away from the things of the kingdom of God, is going to come on God's people, and God's people are going to start moving in true discernment and warfare against the prophets of Baal. Secondly, the prophet Elijah is coming back. He's going to be one of the two prophets. I believe it's going to be him and Enoch in the book of Revelation. So is he coming back? He is coming back. But that prophetic anointing, that cutting edge, I don't care what you think, this is the way it is because I'm a wild and hairy guy. That's what they said about Elijah. I mean, there was no protocol with him except for God, you know. And he just did what God told him to do, and he didn't care if you liked it or not. He was faithful and he was obedient to God. And there was an anointing on him to establish schools of the prophets, which I think we're going to start seeing develop around the world. And governments that are not walking with God are going to hate them, because these guys will walk in, and with a word, a government will topple. With a word, storms will come. With a word, drought will come. But with a word, people will be raised from the dead. With a word. How many know right now Australia would like to have a prophet come in there and say one word, rain? 12-year drought. How do you do that by the ocean? I don't know. I mean, they ought to have lots and lots of water. From this, the humidity and stuff coming up out of the ocean. But in a 12-year drought. It's time for all of Australia to quit trusting in all the diamonds and the gold and everything that's in the ground and start trusting the one who put them in the ground. And when they begin hitting their knees, God will lose a prophet who can walk on that land and say, rain come, and rain has no choice but to saturate the ground. That's what I'm looking for. But look what this Elijah does. The heart he will turn before that great and dreadful day. So before the Lord comes back and really there's hell to pay. He said he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. God is getting ready to reestablish the family. Everything in our society right now is trying to dismantle the American family. And trying to dismantle the family, trying to redefine what a family is. What God said a family is what a family is and what a family will always be. It is religious based. It is not secular based. It is not social based. And they're going to find out exactly what Russia tried to find out when Russia tried to go to a 10-day week. Do you know Russia did that? The only reason that there are 7 days in a week and one of those days you rest is because Almighty God said so. And so part of their communist plan to prove that there was no God is they went to a 10-day work week. You'd work 8 days straight and take two off. People begin having nervous breakdowns. People would collapse physically. You can't do it very long. You cannot step outside of that which God has said, this is the way it is. The moment you step out of it, things begin to deteriorate. And the moment that we step out of what God says a family is, society, the very fabric of society begins to deteriorate. And God is saying, I'm about having enough of this. As I come and as I start straightening things out, I'm going to straighten back out what a family is, and I'm going to start turning the hearts of the parents and the children back together the way that they should be, and I'm going to start establishing, I'm going to have real men. That's one of the reasons why everything in our fellowship right now has been about men. That's not just because we needed all the work. We needed half the work. Amen? Man, maybe 60-40. But part of God's agenda is when He reestablishes the man, it does something in the children and enables the wife to do what she needs to do, as well as feel safe to get healed. When a man does his thing the way he's supposed to, everything else begins to line out. If a man is abusive, things go awry. If a man is too weak, things go awry. When a man is exactly where he's supposed to be, it enables the kingdom to be established underneath him the way it's supposed to be, and it brings healing to the family. God is getting ready to do that, because there's going to be some things happen in the world that if you're not an established family where you can bring the peace of God into your home, you're not going to make it. God says you can do it two ways. You can do it because I said so, or you can do it because that's the only way you're going to be left. Plan A, plan B. And so if it ends up being the family, why don't you just start with plan A? Is so much easier. God, give me the strength and the power to be the man that I'm supposed to be. I'm going to quit listening to the world, and I'm going to let that prophetic ministry of Elijah that's being loosed in the world to straighten me out and to empower me that I can be the man that you've called me to be. And it's going to affect my children. It's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect society in the way that it needs to. Guys, it's on our shoulders. But you know what? That's why God gave us broad shoulders. Just the way that God created us. How many know guys have broad shoulders and women have broad hips? That's just the way it is. Because men are supposed to be able to shoulder responsibility, and women have wider hips because they're supposed to produce life. That's just the way it is. And whenever you follow back in the, you know, if a woman tries to carry weight on her shoulders that she doesn't have the shoulders to carry, it's going to break her down. Mm-hmm. If a man tries to produce life, it ain't going to work. We can produce blessing, we just can't produce life. Amen. Return back to the ways of God. I think one of the things that you guys need to do probably this next month is at least once a week read back over and let God show you more. I mean, I've just scratched the surface in what's in Malachi these last 4 weeks. Just scratched the surface. And it is spot on with where we're on right now. It is a true word. I think it links into Revelation. I think it's the reason why it's the last book of the Old Testament and Revelation is the last book of the New Testament. It will help us understand the times and everything. You begin to crying out, God, I maybe have never seen anybody walk in the fear of God, but when you're through with me, I want to be an example of what the fear of the Lord is. The benefits of the fear of the Lord are too great to ignore. They're too great to ignore. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone that hears this, Father, I loose an anointing right now in the name of Jesus that you will free us from the fear of man. And Father, you will establish us in the fear of Almighty God. Father, return us to your ways, return us to your purpose, return us to your destiny. And Father, we ask that by your hand of grace, everything in our lives that is not of you would be pushed to the side, because it's bearing down and pushing down and restraining that which you have really created us to be. And Father, give us the grace to be the men and women of God who can change the world. And Father, we ask it this morning. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many have enjoyed the book of Malachi these last few weeks? I mean, there's a lot in it. Hallelujah.